Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 to begin with. I'm just doing a quick recap of 3 weeks ago when I started a series of discovering the kingdom of God. Okay? And so in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, after Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent for the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say kingdom of heaven. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You'll find that everywhere he went, this is what he was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. Now, go over to chapter 10 of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Somebody say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
The kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Now this is a very, very important scripture, and I want you to keep this in mind as we go through some things tonight. He said, after he said, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then he told them to demonstrate the kingdom. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. This is all a result of the kingdom of God being at hand. Then he says, freely you have received, so freely give. This is still part of the fact that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, let's go over to the book of Luke. I believe it's chapter 12. This is the whole section starting in verse 22 where he says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than what you eat. The body is more than what you're wearing. He goes on down and then verse 29, seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all of these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, Jesus is trying to change the mindset here. He's trying to get us out of the mindset of living in the world system, of trying to produce what we need for ourselves. And to be focused and concentrated on that as if that's the most important thing in life. And he said, this is what the world is doing. This is what the nations are seeking after. They're seeking after what they're going to wear. They're seeking after what they're going to eat. This is what consumes their thinking. And as a result of it consuming their thinking, what happens is then they start acting the way that they're thinking. Now we've all fallen into the same trap. But Jesus is saying you need to get out of a worldly mindset and you need to get into a child of God mindset. He said, for your Father knows. Your Father knows. And earlier he is talking about the fact that God takes care of the birds of the air. God clothes the grass of the field. All of those things he's showing. You know, I was really going to try to sit here the whole time and it just didn't work. He's showing that that God can and will take care of his creation.
Right. Amen.
And then he goes on and says, verse 32, this is a very powerful scripture. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. Well, I didn't read verse 31. That's really important. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. If you're playing hide and go seek, you are looking for somebody when you're playing it. Seek first, look for, find out where the kingdom of God is, look for it, concentrate on that. That needs to be your focus in life, the kingdom of God, not the seeking after the other things. We got to be seeking after the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is not there. It's not over there. If somebody tells you the kingdom's there or the kingdom's there, that's not where it is. He said that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Why? Because it's not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. Okay? So he says, we need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be taken care of. Go back over to Luke. Luke chapter 12 again, verse 32. So fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's pretty powerful. Do you think that in the kingdom of God there is enough supply for your life? Do you think that God is affected by the economic circumstances that are happening in the nation? Do you think that when the stock market loses 300 points, that God's like, this isn't good? I don't think God even cares about what's going on in the stock market. God doesn't care about the money of the world. Now, if he said that it's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, when you seek after it, the Bible says seek and you shall find. Hold your finger there and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, this really falls in line with what Jesus was saying. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, all of these things shall be added unto you. So it's almost like as you seek the kingdom of God, you're going to get the rewards that come out of the kingdom. As you focus and make that a priority in your life, everything that you need, everything that you desire, all those things, the Father knows what you need. He said he's going to reward you. There's going to be, you're going to, as you seek the kingdom, you're going to learn how to operate in the kingdom, and you're going to tap into the supply that is there. Now, if Jesus went about preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If Jesus was talking about the fact, go back to Luke chapter 12. Let's read verse 32 again. If he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, then was he talking about God giving you something that wasn't available to him, Jesus? No. Jesus was our example. Jesus was our model. So we should see an example in Jesus' life of how he tapped into the supply that is in the kingdom. We should see how he operated in life. If we are, you know, we know Philippians chapter 4 verse 19. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There is a supply that is available to us as believers. There was a supply that was available to Jesus when he was here on the earth. Where did that supply come from? His mailing list. No. Where did that supply come from? It came out of the kingdom. Look at Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, this is the story of the feeding of the 5,000. It's 5,000 men, so when you add women and possibly children, you've got at least 10 or 15,000 people there. And so, verse 34, Jesus, when he came out, saw that much people was moved with compassion towards them, and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, I think that's pretty funny. When the day was now far spent, what that means is Jesus wasn't trying to figure out how to compact his sermon into a little 20-minute sermonette. He was teaching them many things. These people were hungry to hear the word of God. And so when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place. Now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto them, "You give them to eat." You give them to eat. 15,000 people, I want you to feed them. I don't know what was going through their brain, but it wasn't, okay, well, let's do this. It was, what in the world are you talking about? I mean, they said, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" Now, my notation here indicates that this is probably about a day's wage for a laborer. So he said, "Should we but go and buy?" I mean, this would be like, you know, if somebody today is making $100 a day as they work, 200 times 100 would be $20,000. You know, or even if it's half that, $10,000 worth. Now, they asked that question not because they didn't have the money. Obviously, they had the money. They had enough to go buy all of this. So they were ready to go and take out of their treasury and do this. But he said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all of them sit down by companies upon the green grass. This is what I want you to understand for a moment. The disciples were looking at what they could naturally do. Now, if they had $10,000 based on, you know, what my margin says here, a day's wage, so I'm just going to say $10,000. Maybe it's less than that. Who knows? But if they had that much money to go buy food for 10, 15,000 people, what's wrong with them taking that money and going and buying that and feeding people? See, sometimes we as believers, we are thinking that we have to live out of the kingdom when we don't have money in our bank account. Let me say that again, because you need to get this. Because you have to change the way that you think when it comes to living in the kingdom. We talk about God supplying our needs. We talk about you know, us having enough. We pray about that and we really get diligent about financial principles when we don't have enough in our bank account to pay our bills. But if there's enough, if there's something that we want to do, if we're going to pay our bills, the first place that we go when our mortgage is due, the first place that we go is to our bank account. The first place that we go, if we want to go to on a trip, is to our savings account. So we are conditioned in this world that when we have a need, when we have a bill, when we have a desire, that the first place that we look is what's in our bank account. And if there's enough money in the bank account, then we go to the bank account and we take care of it. And we never give God an opportunity, we never give kingdom principles an opportunity to work first. The disciples had the money to go buy a lot of bread. I think $10,000 would buy a lot of bread. But Jesus wasn't thinking about using my money that I have in my treasury to go get some bread. Because Jesus was thinking, the kingdom of God is here. We're talking about changing our mindset. This is a key to walking in the kingdom. This goes back to seeking first the kingdom. I want to operate in the kingdom of God in every area of my life, and I want that to be my first response. I don't want that to be my backup plan if I don't have enough money in my bank account. Come on. Jesus said, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. When they knew, they said 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all of them sit down by companies upon the green grass. They sat down by ranks, by hundreds, by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to the kingdom of heaven. Now see, when you first read that, you'll read that as he looked up into the sky. But actually, if you read the Greek, that word look means to look twice. Yeah, he looked up, but he wasn't seeing blue sky when he looked up. What he was seeing was supply that was available to him in the kingdom of heaven. He was looking past the natural into the supernatural. We must get to the point that whatever's going on in our life, we are looking past the natural and we are looking into the supernatural, and we see the supply that is available to us. We see the healing that is available to us. We see the wisdom of God that is available to us. All of these things have been given unto us. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we must first, not second, first look into heaven for our supply. Now this is a lifestyle. See, this was Jesus's lifestyle. This wasn't just, man, I'm in a need, so what am I going to do? This is the way he lived. He had the money, but that wasn't the way that God was going to supply it this time. So he looked up into heaven. And he blessed, and he broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. Now, there's 12 disciples. He took 2 fishes and started tearing them up and dividing amongst them. Now, what happened? It says that they did all eat and were filled. The disciples had to go out, and they had to take the little bit that was in their hands, and as they obeyed God, the word that Jesus spoke over the loaves and the fishes, it don't matter whether the disciples believed it or not, they just obeyed. The word that Jesus spoke over that had the power to sustain and to multiply what was in the disciples' hands. The blessing of the Lord is on the inside of you. It is on you. God doesn't just add to you. God multiplies. And so Jesus was walking in an area of multiplication. Now the disciples, as they handed it out, they saw miracles happening. Turn with me over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I believe that's right. Verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him or to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. He just wanted to see what Philip's reaction was. Was Philip heaven-minded or was he earthly-minded? When Philip answered and said, well, 200 pennyworth, so that's the same figure there, of bread, it's not enough for them. Not that they didn't have the money. He's just saying, if we spend all of that money and get this, that's still really not enough, but to give everybody just a little bit. And so one of his disciples said, there's a lad here with the loaves and the two fishes. And Jesus made the men sat down. And then, you know, the rest of the story. But I wanted you to see that Jesus wanted to see what Philip was going to do. Was his reaction a natural reaction or was it a supernatural reaction? Now let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, doth not your master pay tribute? He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what do you think, Simon? Of whom do kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers? Peter said unto them, of strangers. Jesus said unto them, then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you've opened his mouth, you shall find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and for thee. All right. So, traditionally, when we are thinking of this story, the coin in the fish's mouth. Hallelujah. The coin in the fish's mouth. We think, man, gold coin, this is a lot of money. Why did Jesus tell Peter to go fishing? Do you know it's possible to go fishing and not catch anything? The reason I say that is because Dad went fishing today, he and Harold, and they were expecting it to be 52 degrees, clear skies, and it was not 52 degrees today. And so the fish had better sense than the guys in the boat. They said, we're not going to move around at all. They didn't get one little bite. But it's possible to go fishing and not. But Jesus knew something. Why did he tell him? Did he tell him to go get a coin out of the fish's mouth because he didn't have the money to pay for it? You know, I mean, that's usually the way you would think that this story is going. Why did he tell him to do that? If it was such a large sum that maybe they didn't have enough to take care of it? In reality, this tax, I've read that it's a temple tax. The Amplified says that. When they arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel, the temple tax, went up to Peter. So this is a temple tax that is only worth two days worth of labor. If I use the same figures that I used earlier, $200. Maybe it's just $100. Not a lot of money. If they had $10,000 to buy loaves, I think they had $200 to pay the temple tax. But again, what is Jesus' mindset? Jesus' first reaction is not to go to the treasury. Jesus' first reaction is to go to the kingdom. Well, how did he know about the fish? How did he know to go to do the loaves? Did he just decide on his own, I'm just going to do this? Did he just decide, I want it to be the first fish? How did Jesus know to do that instead of going to the treasury? Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Because if Jesus lived a certain way and had a kingdom mindset, and it says that we are to seek first the kingdom, then I want to make sure that I'm living the same way that Jesus lived. Amen. The God of multiplication, the Son of the Most High God, lives on the inside of me. Living in the kingdom is available to each one of us today. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Now, why did he say that? Because he's spending this whole chapter talking about not judging people for the things that they eat, the things that they drink, and they were getting much more involved in looking at people's external lifestyle than they were in what the heart of the matter really was. And so he was trying to get rid of some problems that was happening in the church. The kingdom of God is not about what you eat. It's not about what you drink. But the kingdom of God is righteousness. The kingdom of God is peace. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in where? The Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God, being a spiritual kingdom, is connected to the Holy Spirit at operation in your life. Now, what did Jesus do? John chapter 14, I believe it's that, or chapter 16. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what my Father tells me to say. I do what my Father tells me to do. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us today, if you will hear his voice. Now listen, so if Jesus only did what God told him to do, then that means that when Jesus said, go fishing, Peter, and take the coin that comes out of the first fish's mouth, he did not just do that on his own and just decide, this is the way it's going to go. He heard the Father say, this is the way I'm supplying this need. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. But what we have to do is we've got to make a decision that I am going to live by hearing the voice of God. I'm not going to immediately try to do it myself and figure out what's in my bank account or what's not in my bank account and go to a natural source first. If I want to live out of the kingdom, I have to change my mindset and hear what the Spirit of God is saying about today's situation, whether I have the money or whether I don't. What happens is I'm developing a lifestyle of listening to the voice of God, obeying the voice of God, and then by that, I'm living a life of faith. So when the temple tax came, God says, don't go to the treasury, go to the fish. Why? He taught Peter something. When it came to 15,000 that they had to see, that he had to feed, God said, don't go to the treasury, even though you have enough money. Feed them out of the kingdom. When Peter and James and John were fishing all night long, they'd fished all the best spots. They fished longer than Dad and Harold did today. They had toiled all the night. Imagine Dad was in the boat shivering and toiling while he's trying to fish out there. They had worked. This was their livelihood. They knew how to fish. They knew what to do. And they just weren't biting that night. But then the kingdom of God showed up. And God said to Jesus, the Father said, tell them to let their net out into the deep. And so they obeyed. And what would have taken them weeks to do on their own, the kingdom of God provided in one night. Or actually probably provided in 1 hour. I mean, when you get the kingdom involved in what you're doing, when you're living out of the kingdom, you can't stop the supply. So why do you think Jesus wasn't ever concerned? Why do you think Jesus was trying to teach the disciples? When you go into a city, don't take any silver and gold with you, because a worker is worthy of his hire. What that simply means is, if you're listening to the voice of God, if you're doing what he says, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, then the supply is there for you to do what God has said to do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Man, I'm just saying, y'all got blessed tonight, because this is awesome. It's God. It's not me. I am pumped up. This is awesome. This is the kingdom. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, is it 1 Corinthians or is it 2 Corinthians? Let me see. I think it's first. Hold on. All right, let me look it up. Maybe I have the wrong chapter here. What'd you say? Yep, that's it. So chapter 4. Let me explain to you what was going on for just a moment. They were having some disagreements in the church, this Corinthian church. What had happened is people started kind of splitting up, kind of created two different camps. There was some people saying, you know, Apollos is the person that baptized me. And others were saying, yeah, but I got baptized by Paul. As if that really made a difference who it was that was doing the baptism. And so what it was is they were kind of creating these two different camps, and they were getting in the flesh about a lot of different things. And what had happened as a result is they were allowing sin to run rampant in their church, to the point that there was a man in the church that was sleeping with his stepmother. Okay? You can read that in chapter 5. And so they had allowed all of this just to infiltrate the church. And so Paul says in verse 16, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I sent Timothy who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which are in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I would not come to you. In other words, a lot of them were saying, look, Paul's not coming. Everything's going to be fine. We can do whatever we want to because Paul's not going to ever show up. And he said, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and will know. Now, this is very important. He said, I will know. I don't want to know your speech. I don't care what your argument is. I don't care to debate you. I don't want to hear your stories. I don't want to hear you justify why you're living the way you're living. What I will know, he said, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but I want to know the power behind what you say. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. As far as Paul was concerned, if you're going to talk the talk, you better have the power to back up the things that you're saying. That's all he cared about. Would to God that churches today have that same attitude. That people today would say, if you're going to preach, let me see the power. Because it's the power. The kingdom of God is not in good preaching. Now, the preaching is an outgrowth of the kingdom. But the Bible says that they went about preaching and God confirmed the preaching with the power, the signs and the wonders following. The kingdom of God is meant to supply. The kingdom of God is meant to set them free. So remember how I said over in Matthew chapter 10 that when he sent them out, he said, preach the kingdom of God. But that wasn't the thing to get them saved. He said, now demonstrate it. Bring the kingdom to them. The kingdom was in the power. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Deliver them from the evil spirits. Freely you have received from the kingdom, so freely give. Amen. And so what he was doing was getting them to start thinking about the power and the supply that comes from the kingdom. We have lots of good preachers in the world today. And you've got good preachers that are Baptist preachers. You got good preachers that are Church of God preachers. You got good preachers that are charismatic preachers. You got people that can talk. And if you listen to them all, you'll get real confused. Amen. So which ones do you listen to? Has anybody got the answer for that? The ones with the power. Now this requires, it's one of the reasons why you've seen a shift in the past few months here in our services. Making sure that we are allowing the Holy Spirit and the power of the kingdom to operate in our services. Jesus said, if I don't do the works, then don't believe what I say. Jesus said the power that's behind what I say is proof. The miracles are proof that what I'm saying comes from God. Amen. What minister is going to stand up there and say, the miracles are proof? Well, I will. If we're going to walk in the kingdom. Let's just not preach a good message. Every one of us can leave here tonight. Every one of us can leave here tonight and we've learned something. We've learned something about the kingdom. Just that little bit about us going to our bank account first when we have the money. That's enough to change your life. But where's the power? Are we ready to demonstrate it? Discovering the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God. You're changing your mindset. You're changing the way that you think. You're going to the kingdom first, and you're listening to the voice of God, and the way that God says to do it, do it. Can you imagine what kind of life that is when you actually step out and you hear the voice of God, and God says, you know what? Don't write a check for that. Go over here and talk to this person. And in the middle of that, that person just says, you know what? I believe I just want to give you something.
Yeah, that's right.
Or God may say, go fishing. You don't know what he's going to say, but we have to develop our ability to hear the voice of God, because in hearing the voice, that's where the supply comes from, the kingdom. Stop thinking about money in the bank. Think about your treasure that's in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.